That's what I don't remember. It's character names from Jurassic Park. Okay. If anybody wants that,
there's
IMDb.
Ian and Ellie and Tim and
Mr.
Lex.
Mr. T-Rex and Miss T-Rex.
Uh-huh.
No, that's the second
No, there's
one.
Only Miss T-Rex.
You're right. That's Mr. and Mrs. in the second one when they're on the other island in the RV.
Yes. But we're not talking about that one. Don't even think about it. Put it out of your head.
I have an even better idea.
Hello and welcome to Fresh Air for NPR. Wait.
Is that, dude, is that what we are?
Come on, you, man.
It's been a while.
Do you know what we are?
Welcome to... From under a rock, from under a rock. Bringing people out from under the rock.
I can only snap with one hand.
From under the rock?
Under the rock.
On one hand.
Bringing everybody out from under the rock.
Are we having sex with Dwayne Johnson?
Where we watch movies and we talk about them to Wait. Each other and people listening even though
Friends
we can't see
Friends for eternity,
them.
Loyalty, honesty.
I know what you're talking
That's
about.
Where that was headed.
Can did we start I, over? I hate this.
Did I win the challenge?
I hate this.
Ryan, what's our pick next week?
Did I win the challenge?
What's the
guys?
Movie? What's the movie next week?
Ryan, you really went for it. I'm going to give you 1 point.
Next week we are watching Fritz Lang's seminal classic M, which is.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that was the challenge.
If it was, I won.
Okay.
By far.
By
cause,
one.
Because you guys didn't. yes, welcome to From Under a Rock. I'm Ryan.
I'm James.
I'm Steven.
I'm Michael. And I could have made that easier on Steven by saying my name first, but instead I wanted to make him run back to his
Steven,
mic because he kind of scampered off.
Got up and ran away for a second.
Michael, you get, or as I have you in here, Mikhail, okay. I'm going to give you 2
it'll,
points for
it'll
making
never,
things difficult.
It'll never stick.
What about my hustle
never
to get back?
That nickname will never stick, McDoodles.
Actually, it's not even Mikhail. It's just M-I-C-A-E-L.
M-I-C.
A-E-L-M-O-U-S-E.
We're
going to get slapped with a lawsuit for that one.
For Mikhail Mouse?
Mikkel.
Mikhail Mouse.
Hello, comrade.
I heard he was the original mascot for Sochi, but...
I actually heard... this was back when, this might be getting a little intense for this podcast, but back when, you know, the war in the Middle East was fresher, I guess. I'm looking for, I don't know.
When you like looked at the expiration date, it's like, this is going to be fresh for a while.
No, it got pretty old out pretty quickly. not many preservatives in that one. But I remember hearing that they play propaganda cartoons.
Oh yeah,
over there, and they have like a version of Mickey Mouse that gets butchered by American soldiers or something like that, and it's meant to indoctrinate kids into thinking that America's a bad place.
Jesus!
Well, if they're willing to kill Mikhail Mouse,
but why would we do that? Mickey Mouse is American.
In America.
I
couldn't
tell
doesn't
you.
Have to
yeah,
make sense, James.
Yeah, I guess not.
It really doesn't.
Speaking of Mickey Mouse.
Speaking of Mickey Mouse. How have you guys been lately?
Yeah, I've been quite all right. I was in Vegas recently.
Oh yeah?
For work, yes. And
not for pleasure.
Not unfortunately, no. And it was my first time, and it was a bummer that I wasn't able to enjoy the city as much. But I did have a couple good stories, but I'll condense it to one. It was the opening night party of the event that I was helping out at, and the party closed around 10. I was like, oh, I could keep drinking if I wanted to. I only work at 7 tomorrow.
Oh, James, resident drunk from under a rock. We've heard it 1,000 times before.
It's like, I only have to wake up in some really small amount of time. But yeah, so I went to the bar and I was just hanging out. And this not elderly, but older woman came up and we were just sitting next to each other at the bar, and like at one point she accidentally dropped her fur coat, and I was like, oh, here, let me get that for you, and you know, I picked it up.
Except
and stuff
it was
like
more
that.
Like
she was blitzed already.
Oh, here, let me just
no, she was blitzed. I would not get blitzed until later.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so like at the end of the night, I finished my Woodford Reserve, and I'm like, okay, I'm leaving now. Nice. Goodbye. And she just takes me by the face and just and like kisses me full on the mouth.
Hey, it's like your 21st birthday with
almost me. With you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was kind of just dumbfounded. I was just like, all right, goodbye. It was she was not attractive.
Thank you.
Yeah, she was. Bless her heart. She was not attractive.
No. It should be worth noting that at James's 21st birthday, he got so drunk that when I said goodbye to him that night, he kissed me on the mouth.
What he doesn't say is he was leading me. He was like, "Hey, you should really totally kiss me."
He was teasing you.
He's like, you should totally kiss me. I bet you won't kiss me. And I was like, "Bet nothing." And then I went for it.
None of your half is true.
No, that's exactly true.
I went to a concert recently, James, and I went with a friend, and we picked out our spot in the crowd beforehand, and it was right next to this very kind of unorthodox couple, kind of a average, fairly tall looking, slightly overweight 30 something guy, and then this,
what a freak.
And I was looking at, I was just
all right.
I was uncomfortable the entire time just because I was like, what is this guy doing? He's freaking me out. No, not really. The woman he was with was
pregnant,
had to be 50 something.
Oh.
Kind of a Courtney Cox-ish but not hot look to her.
What a freak.
Kind of the hair, like the alien head hair, where it kind of jumps out straight up in the back a little bit, and there's a big bump, you know, like the alien and alien.
You started, and I was trying to imagine it, but even with a step by step, I was like, "What the hell would that look
like?" So it's like when you're playing Candyland, and then you get the double brown.
You're using some not very subtle comparisons, and you're creating a monster in our heads.
Yeah, I'm just imagining like a woman who looked like an alien from Aliens.
I picture an alien now in Little Bo Peep garb for some reason.
Anyway, she was. I guess there was nothing especially creepy to her, except that she was an older woman at a young person's concert rock show. But I stood kind of behind her and to the left for the duration of the concert, and she spent 3/4 of the show looking directly back at me. And I had to look past her to see the stage, so I'm just focusing so hard not to make any eye contact at all the entire time, and she's just looking at me.
You're just hating the fact that you have peripheral vision.
Was she giving you the look of lust, or was she just angry at you?
I did not want to find out. She didn't look angry, I guess, if that answers
she
your question.
She just looked like she wanted to murder you.
Not angrily, though.
Okay. Well, that's even creepier, because this is like she's not even doing it for any emotional purpose. She just wants to kill you.
Well, it could be an emotional purpose, just not anger.
Mm. Fun fact, if you can maintain eye contact with someone for 6 seconds or longer without blinking, it means that you are either in love with them or capable of murdering them.
Who says that?
Yeah, I think you just made that up, actually.
Nope. I heard it somewhere. I
Reuters?
Forget now. I don't cite my sources. I just say things that I've read.
BuzzFeed. Did you say Reuters?
It was BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed. Top 10 lists.
Top 10 ways to make eye contact.
I want to say it was from an episode of Conan, but I don't know who the guest was that told him that.
Top 10. Number one way to make eye contact is right before murdering someone. That's the top of the list.
Steven, look at me.
Yes. 2. 3.
How have you been?
I've been.
You guys have lived together too long. This is getting tense.
I'm going to kill Ryan. I've been mostly good. I injured my hand.
Just kind of slipped that one in there.
Yeah, mostly good. No, I injured my hand a couple weeks ago. Sprained it. It was swollen. Could barely use it. It's getting back there. But earlier today, I've been having to use my left hand as a result. Earlier today, I was telling Ryan, "Hey, I've actually gotten good enough with my left hand to where I can crack an egg open with just my left hand." And I was like, I was going to show Ryan, but then I didn't want to wait.
A dumb story.
I already finished it.
I've always got to. No. Honestly, I've always got to use both hands.
No, I'm so pro at this.
Me too.
Just like, it's got to.
Anyways, Ryan comes in and goes, hey, did you know it's impossible to break an egg with one hand? I was like, no, I literally just told you that I did with my left hand. And he goes, no, here. And he takes our last egg. And I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. I have all the eggs I need in the mac and cheese. And he goes over the sink. He goes, no, look. And he just clenches it. And what he was supposed to show me was that eggs are like biologically so smart and strong that you can't.
Smart?
Yeah, they're no, smart. The physics, like the design of it.
You're doing a terrible job here.
So he clenches it. So he clenches it and then just egg yolks everywhere. Like literally it just explodes across the kitchen. It flies onto me. You don't know it, but it flies onto the stove. And Ryan was just like, oh, I didn't think that would happen.
So in science class, in middle school, I learned that if you apply pressure to an egg from many angles at once, then it will not crack because the pressure
it
is applied evenly and it pushes against itself. Exactly. And I actually tested this in a room full of people. They were all skeptical, this including adults like my parents and their friends. I took an egg and I showed them that I could not crack it. I handed it to them and they in turn could not crack it as well. I was as blown away as Steven whenever I picked up an egg and easily crushed it within a second.
Just instantly.
Was the eggs okay? Was it a rotten egg? Eating rotten eggs?
Didn't look like it. I don't know.
It was a fresh egg. Just, and I was like, why would you?
That was why the, would you do that? That was the weak one of the
weak
batch.
One of
the runt.
Yeah, it was the runt.
The runt.
Either that
order.
Or Ryan developed superpowers, and this is how he found
I'm gonna
out.
Go with that. You guys, I have been working out a lot lately. You know, so
I'm gonna go home and try this. But on my patio.
Ryan's showing off. I have a hand that doesn't work, and here he's just breaking eggs with his fists. Way to go, Ryan.
He's punching eggs.
Unprecedented, unscientific, never been done before. Breaking the laws of physics.
That we're going to have so many angry emails. It's like, hey, Dick, I tried to do that, and I just messed up my entire kitchen.
We don't get emails,
James. FURAROCK@gmail.com, guys. Speaking of breaking the laws of physics...
Michael, how you been?
Did you want to talk about something, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Please.
I have a.
Speaking of breaking the laws of physics, Michael.
There's a new lady in my life.
Woo!
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm treating her right. She's never seen any.
I thought you were saying I'm cheating on her. I was like, what?
No comment. She's never seen any of the Star Wars movies before. And
how?
Because she's a year older than me too, so she's like old.
she's like super old.
She's like real old.
Okay, wait.
Because you're like,
please tell me you rectified this.
Well, she said I want to watch Star Wars. I was like, cool. Are you particularly interested? She's like, no, I'm sick of saying I haven't seen them. And I was like, okay, cool. We'll watch one when you come over. And she came over and we watched one.
I'm afraid to ask this.
So how was episode 4 of New Hope then? Did she enjoy it?
So we haven't gotten there because I'm starting her with like from the begin, like the episode order.
I hate you.
And she loved it. She's a huge fan of Twilight. So
sorry. You showed her Star Wars episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Just to be clear.
Yeah.
If she's a fan of Twilight, that's.
Well, all right,
that
so
makes
why,
sense.
Two things.
I'll take The Phantom Menace over Twilight.
One, she actually loves Twilight. Two, she actually hated The Phantom Menace.
Okay.
Three, she loves Liam Neeson.
Okay.
And that was a big drawing point.
Four, there's
she didn't have any
wrong,
say in which one she watched
There's a lot
first.
Wrong with your method. I will preface this. I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Don't think you are.
I'm not one of those. I have like 8 copies of the original trilogy in the next room.
I don't think that's true. I've been to your place. I've not seen a single Star Wars.
Instagram.com/Steven Zurita.
This is the first
check
time hearing about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Instagram.com/Steven Zurita. It's on there. All my Star Wars is.
He just takes pictures of things that say, I'm Steven Zurita and I'm a fan of Star Wars and I'm lying.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Did you say how it went?
She watched the movie and she was like, okay.
Great.
And I was like, don't worry.
Like
next is episode 2.
You're trying to be funny, but I just hate you right now.
You don't start somebody on
You want to end on a good note.
Episode 3 is a good note.
It's not bad.
Yeah, episode, and then the nice thing about episode 3 is then you have a cycle and you're like, well, now I can just watch episode 4 again.
Yeah.
And to get the taste out of
your mouth. We're going to get through the other five.
That's kind of how Steven's life has been so far. It's like, oh, well, I'm at three.
I finished them.
I'm at three, so I can just go to four now.
I'm amazed. She's like, okay, I never need to see another one.
With your method now, you've just made a method where she's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the end. I'm done. Where my method is 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, and then there's something after 3, which is 4, 5, 6. Then what? How do we get there? 1, 2, 3, 4.
You're just
and
like
then 5, 6. Well, how do we get there?
Stuck.
I'm in a cycle.
I'm gonna have to reboot Steven here real quick.
Also, now when 7 comes out, it's gonna screw up the cycle.
Well, Steven's not gonna watch that.
However, after hearing Steven's cycle,
oh, we still got that bet going. How much was it?
$20.
$20 each. So I'm in for $60 in a year, and some
change.
You're
gonna see it.
No,
I'm gonna see it.
I'm gonna
love it.
We're all gonna see it. And we're gonna be like, it's gonna be awesome.
I'm gonna be sixty bucks richer.
It's gonna be.
I think it'll be okay.
I think it'll be good.
I think that's what's gonna happen. It's gonna be a generic summer blockbuster like we've had for the past three,
like
4 years.
Like everything J.J. Abrams has ever made.
Yeah, and just every blockbuster we've had. No, the blockbusters aren't special anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's why they went away.
Yes.
I think Disney does a good job with franchises.
I like how you like felt really conflict. Okay, so. I like the original trilogy. I love the original. I like the original trilogy enough to watch it. You should not start with one.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. We're not going to tell him how to live his life, though. That's fine. So, guys, speaking of blockbusters, I was looking for the segue. I found it. It's a good one, guys.
Speaking of breaking the laws of physics.
Buckle up here.
Wait, what was your original segue with breaking the laws of physics? I have to ask that.
We watched a movie about a certain doctor who resurrects...
A certain Doctor Who?
A certain Doctor Who. Not David Tennant. Oh. Not
Matt
the
Smith.
New guy. Not Matt Smith.
Not Capaldi.
That's it. That's Capaldi. Yeah. What? Who is Capaldi? I've
never the new guy.
Anyway. Okay. Yeah. I
don't know.
Speaking of summer blockbusters, we watched a film by the originator of the summer blockbusters, Steven Spielberg.
Mr. Spielberg.
Comrades Spielberg.
Very Jewish name, because he is, in fact, Jewish.
Huh. Fun fact.
Yeah. Steven Play Mountain.
What?
That's Spielberg in German is Play Mountain. And when he was a kid, he called his production company his... You know, kitty production company, Play Mountain Productions, or something like that.
The more you know.
We watched Jurassic Park, which
it's a good one.
It's a good one. It was not the original summer blockbuster, but
it was writing in
certainly
its wake.
among the better ones. Yes. Certainly among the greats. So this being a any pick. Have we all seen this one?
Yep.
Before? Yeah, we had all seen this one before.
Yes. Indeed.
But we were all happy to be here talking about it again. I guess I can go around the table and talk about our first impressions of the movie.
Also, Ryan, what
the first times we got to see.
You get 2 points for segueing.
Thank you.
So I just bought a segue.
I feel like I should.
And it's how I get around now.
I feel like I should have gotten way more points for segueing for all the previous podcasts, but this is a good start to make up for all that. So.
Yeah.
James,
he's pandering now.
James, let's start with you, oh great four master.
Okay.
What was your first experience watching Jurassic Park?
My first experience watching Jurassic Park had to be when I was like 4 or 5. I don't remember.
That was, that was around when it first came out, though.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching it around that age in like fragments. But my dad always tells a story about when I would watch it, and like there's some, you know, for a little kid, there's some pretty scary bits in it, you know. But I was such a huge fan of dinosaurs that I didn't care, you know, because I was always like, yes, I get to see people get ripped to shreds by raptors. But I mean, I was still scared, especially in that bunker scene.
It's a dream come true.
Like the one
where she's turning the power back on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
When
Yeah, especially like during that scene, like my dad and I would watch that together, and I would like be like all wide eyed and like pale faced, and they
that sounds a little racist.
Again, not much different from now in general. Just
yeah, just all the time, I'm just scared looking. and yeah, my dad was like, he like, you know, tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, you know, if you're scared, you can just close your eyes. And I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. Like, and like close my eyes afterwards because I didn't think about it.
So here's the thing: you can close your eyes, but it
no,
can
no, no.
Still
this is Jurassic
you.
Park. The Thing is the '80s movie by John Carpenter.
Yes, you are correct. My bad.
I thought you were doing
so
a talk
here's,
to the face.
Can you start over and say, "Here's Jurassic Park"?
So here's my issue with your dad's logic. The first nightmare I can ever remember having is a raptor chasing me through my house just after seeing Jurassic Park. And I remember...
After the raptor watched Jurassic Park?
Michael, come back.
Michael, it was a good point, Michael. It was a good story. It was really interesting. I was into it.
And then I woke up. And I remembered where they're chasing the kids through the kitchen, and how Lex, yeah, how she like hid in like the little pull down mm-hmm. cabinet
and the reflection, yeah.
And so I went and hid there when I woke up in my house in the kitchen in a cabinet.
Oh, you had one of those?
Not a metal one, but
just a cabinet.
Yeah,
it's not gonna fool anybody,
but. No raptors got
dumbass.
Me. No raptors got me.
No, it fooled the raptors. It went after the reflection.
No, apparently they were watching Jurassic Park.
They were too busy,
they were too busy
on the couch.
They're just like, this is a good movie.
They knew
macking on some popcorn.
They knew he was there because they were watching the movie. They saw it happen. They're like, he's in the cabinet. We just saw that scene. I'm not going to fall for it.
Yeah.
Steven, what about you?
I likewise saw it right around when it first came out. I don't think my parents took me to see it in theaters. I'm pretty sure my first time seeing it was in my living room on tape, and I probably wore that tape out because it was a really... I remember the box art for that tape was really simple and iconic. It was just all black with the classic
mouth.
Red
yeah.
T-Rex skeleton outline.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it just, like, it stood out, you know, in its simplicity, and we'd watch it all the time. I was obsessed with it. And I was in a huge dinosaur phase because Power Rangers had come out the year before, and they were all about dinosaurs. And then there's
except for Mastodon,
and Sabretooth Tiger, and
yeah.
This movie with amazing real looking dinosaurs came out. And I remember I would take one of my Power Ranger blaster guns and watch the movie and just pretend like I was shooting the dinosaurs, so I could mm-hmm. save everybody, so I could save the people. I'd be like, look out.
Clever girls.
And like,
thanks, Steven.
Wait,
I got you back.
Did you guys ever play the Jurassic Park light gun game?
Like, no.
I remember
played many of the arcade games.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh,
I played the crap out of that and Lost World. And Lost World is still like
Lost
my
World's
favorite.
Great. Yeah.
Lost World is still like my favorite arcade game.
You're talking about the one where you get in like the little Jeep? Like
that was the first one, yeah.
Yes, I've played that one a lot.
I never, like, that game was unbeatable as a kid, like, unless I had help.
I went, I played it at Chuck E. Cheese, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one time where I just, you know, my mom gives me a certain amount of tokens, and
it
you know, usually,
went to
I, that. usually I spread them all around, but I was like, you know what, I'm just going to sit down and beat this game. It pretty much took out the whole lot of tokens, but I eventually did beat it. Spoiler alert.
I never did beat it. What happens?
Final boss.
T-Rex?
Two T-Rexes.
Well, that's Lost World, too. You fight two T-Rexes.
Is it really?
Well,
isn't there, like, in the Lost World, a dinosaur that becomes invisible? The idea is it camouflages,
yes.
But it just
disappears.
It's
a Carnotaur.
Yeah.
Like in Dinosaur, the movie. I don't know if you're the CG
or
dinosaur.
Jurassic
movie.
Park 3. It's the same
thing. He's not. No, that's a Spinosaur.
Oh, never mind.
Carnotaur, they. You know what? We're going way off track.
I'm
going to
give you points for
dinosaurs.
Dino knowledge. I'm going to give you 4 points, James.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to award myself 4 points plus one.
I also used to just randomly pretend I was like the computer system they had on that island was the coolest thing that never was invented.
It's a Unix system.
The 3D Unix.
I know
this.
Come on.
I probably crashed my parents' what, computer Alex? So many times trying to recreate that scene. I'd be like, I would open up command prompt and be like, oh, look, this is where the code is, and just start typing and hitting enter.
You weren't a smart kid.
No.
Steven, so, you get 2 points for trying to save people's lives.
I tried. I still try.
So Jurassic Park was the first PG-13 movie I ever saw. I was probably around 5 or 6, same age as James. And like James, I wasn't allowed to watch the whole thing at the time. I was allowed to watch.
I just wasn't. Okay. I wasn't aware that I could cover my eyes when I was scared.
I wish I had your dad. Because my dad was like, if you get scared, grow a pair.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Dad. No, what's a pair?
I would have loved the opportunity to be scared, but my parents didn't give me the opportunity to grow a pair. They just fast forwarded through.
That's why you're so brave. No. The T-Rex. That's why you're so brave. You know no fear.
You're missing. So what was the movie like for you if you skipped those
scenes?
I mean,
I still loved it.
As a child, what was the plot of that movie if you were skipping over the scary?
So there were these kids, and they went to an island to have a good time.
And they did.
And they did. And
they did. They had a great time.
It was about 15 minutes long.
Who paid attention to plots that young? I didn't start paying attention to the plots of movies until like
a fairly
college.
Good grasp
so it was,
of it.
So a few years later, when I was around 8, I guess, I was allowed to watch the movie in its entirety. And so that summer of my life, every morning I would wake up and watch Jurassic Park for the entire summer. So I've seen that movie in excess of 50 times now.
It's crazy because a lot of kids, I think, we probably all did this as kids. We would just watch a movie over and over.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Over. Like,
I
the
still
Lion
watch
King
movies
over
and over
and over.
I really don't, actually.
Well, like, I just don't anymore. It's totally a kid thing. I kind of wish I could do that, but now
Really? I watch the shit out of movies
over and
over. I
don't know if it's a kid thing. I think it's an age thing. Like, the age we live in now, this is going off topic again, but I find that I have a much shorter attention span now than I did whenever I had a kid, or whenever I was a kid.
What happened?
How
to
is
him?
He doing, by the way?
We lost him. I haven't talked to him in a while. I don't know.
It's not my problem.
Last I saw, he was on the road to Idaho.
I went out for smokes and...
and then he ended up
got
moving
distracted.
In here.
Yeah, I didn't.
Why would you go back? Let's be honest.
This is probably like one of my favorite all-time movies, if not my favorite movie.
Yeah, high five.
Because of just honestly, it's I'm super biased because I was also like, and still am in the dino craze phase. You know, like
you got the knowledge.
I
you were like, boom, Spinosaur.
Yeah.
Get your facts right.
Carnotaur.
I'm going to be there soon after my purchase today.
Oh, yeah. Michael got a coffee table dinosaur book or something.
Basically,
like that?
I went to Costco and I was like, well, that thing's got to be $75, $19.99. Nice. So it's now sitting on top of the rest of my books and you can't see any of them because it's so huge. That's
awesome. Wonderful purchase.
One of the best. No regrets.
excuse me. No. Also because of, and like this is something I didn't grow to appreciate until much, much later, but the reason I think that Jurassic Park works so well is because, not just because, you know, you got dinosaurs and they're eating people, that's awesome, but the theme of nature can't be contained and it's always, you know, it's much in the same vein as Godzilla. It's, you know, you've got this unstoppable thing that is a making of humans, but ultimately, they can't control Mother Nature, no matter how much they try to resist that, no matter how much they try to contain that. And I don't know if any of you guys actually read the book, Michael Crichton's book.
No,
I did. Yes,
you did. Because it's different. It varies quite a lot. But at the same time, like, you've got the core theme and it really stays true to the source material in terms of it's man versus nature and life will find a way.
Faster. must go faster.
Must go faster.
One of my I love some of the subtleties in that movie about like symbolic things to the theme. For instance, like, you know, the whole man versus or like man-made things versus nature. At the beginning, you have that dig where they found the velociraptor, And then Dr. Hammond comes down in a helicopter, basically ruining their entire dig, like scattering dirt all over it. Like just that whole, you know, here's this guy coming in with no respect for nature is one of the things. And then another one is the way that they were able to get the dinosaurs to breed is by infusing an amphibian, which is it can be both genders, hermaphroditic DNA. Yeah.
Frog. Apparently the kind of frog they used.
The kind of frog they used is hermaphroditic, and they combined it with, they only had female dinosaur DNA, but they were able to make males by, or make them breed by using that. And so the idea of putting two females together, but you can still make it work, symbolized when Dr. Grant is in the helicopter and he has the two seatbelt ends.
When you
that
told
are both
me that, I was like,
ends.
How did I never see that before?
Amazing.
So he has the two female ends, can't put them together, so he just ends up tying them.
I used to
Sorry, I agree that it is good foreshadowing. It goes with the theme, but it was not scripted. It was, you know, he, what's his name? Sam Neill actually had trouble with his seatbelts on the day that they were shooting.
Is that true?
Like, yes. They gave him two female sides?
I wish that was scripted.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to. But I hear people talk about that all the time, and it's not true.
You know what I hope, though, if that's the case? Michael, come back.
Michael,
come
I miss
on,
you.
Michael.
Oh, no.
I'm going to make a really good point. Okay, here's what I hope that means. I hope that there was, like, a guy on set who's like, you know what would be great foreshadowing?
Oh, yeah, he was taking
and he
control.
Just planned,
he was taking control.
The production designer was like, I'm going to give him two female ends of a seatbelt. I used to redo that, like every time
intern.
I would get on a plane. I would take the two, like, my female end and then the female end from the seat next to me, and be like, I can't, Mom. I can't. Here, let me just tie them together. Okay, we can take off.
I like how he actually attempts to. Like,
yeah,
he clearly has two things that are not going to connect. He's like, oh, how do I? Well, now I'm bummed.
And he's
but
a
I'm
scientist.
Glad that I also know. Thank you, Ryan.
Just think of the production designer who made it all happen. I want to.
I'm not like I'm. As I said, it still works.
Yeah, it doesn't take away from
with
it
the theme,
it.
And you can still totally interpret it. And they put that in the movie, maybe for that reason too. So it's totally fine.
I want to talk about how groundbreaking technically this movie is because it's really
God. It still looks amazing.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. There's so many movies that even now come out that don't look as good as Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And Jurassic Park was the first movie to really have a heavy CG. Use of CG and it work amazingly. And
but not like I can also applaud them for their practical use of animatronics that were just unbelievable. Like, still that shot of the T-Rex
on the other side of the glass, right?
That on the other side of the glass, but like
in the visitor center, or?
Specifically when they are the Jeep's overturned and they're staying still, and he's just sniffing around.
Oh yeah,
and he blows the hat off of Dr. Grant.
Great.
That's one
so
of the
real.
Best. Like, it still looks amazing. Like, just things like that. Things
CG
get dated.
CG
even gets
now.
Dated. You know, but like that's there. That's physical, you know?
Yeah.
It's so tangible.
How did that happen? Is it, I mean, obviously computers weren't nearly as advanced or powerful as they are now. How did they, is it a style thing or were they just so far advanced back then that it's still.
Ryan, they had Windows 95. Okay.
No.
They got it in advance.
No. Oh. Are you saying how did they get it to look so good back then?
Well, how does it still hold up if it was made?
I don't know.
Wizards.
Dark just, 20 wizards. Years, almost 20 years ago.
And it's a
dark
huge,
graphic wizards.
A huge jump in effects because the big groundbreaking movie before that was Terminator 2, and the T-1000 isn't really, you know, it's a silver blob. That's step one of your CG. They took it to step five in Jurassic Park. It's the textures, the skin. It's
but
amazing.
It was also a Spielberg movie, so you know it had a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
So.
It was just really groundbreaking
even
for ILM,
considering
too.
All that, you know, there has to be some sort of stylistic element that keeps it from...
Like they used maybe a quote-unquote trick that to make it look good?
I guess.
Even though if you zoomed in the pixels, maybe.
I honestly don't know.
If you know, email us.
I do know one thing. Originally, the movie was supposed to be stop motion, and Terminator 2 had come out. Yeah, they
like the Weird Al music video.
Kind of. Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it was supposed to be stop motion, and they started doing it in stop motion, and Terminator 2 had come out not too long ago, and Steven Spielberg was like, "Well, let's try this in CG." And what they would do, since it was like the first time they were doing this with a movie, or with dinosaurs for sure, they would hook up a bunch of motion control sensors to a stop motion T-Rex, and like the stop motion master, like the best of the time, would animate it, and then that's how they actually got the keyframes for the motion.
Huh.
Instead of going in a computer and logging
it around.
That
seems tedious.
But it's so real.
Oh, and
like
it's
you get
worth
the
it.
Movement. Like so much good. Of what makes that movie work is the dinosaurs' movement.
You watch. Yeah, exactly. It's the movement. It's like all the follow through. Like you look at these animals step and you feel the weight behind it. You know, that's what like is amazing about this movie. It's just like you could. I'm not saying like you said, there's quite a budget behind it, but I'm not saying that they might have been able to get away with something that looked a little cheaper, but like the fact that they went all
they didn't
out.
Settle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
We can talk about some performances if you guys want.
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff mother.
That's obviously Goldblum. the place to start.
That was the one person in this movie. This is I Am Legend with dinosaurs and Jeff Goldblum.
I think that there is a certain charm to Jeff Goldblum, and his he kind of plays himself in this movie as he does
in everything. Here I am, just
you know, you
in
have
a car sitting talking to myself.
You have the
that's
you have these
that's chaos.
You have these actors, these Jeff Goldblums and Christopher Walkens, who can just kind of get away with doing whatever they want, and
it's awesome.
It is awesome. But I do think that he works particularly well in this movie too.
Yeah,
this is definitely a standout of his career to me as the chaotician. Ian Malcolm.
Also, the character, they don't mention this in the movie, but the character is from UT. He's a professor at UT.
Oh, really? Like, if I read the book?
Yeah.
Wait.
Dude.
Oh, okay, yeah.
At the University of Texas.
Why did I not... Why didn't... Did anybody hear about that? That'd be like
he
a
did.
Fun fact.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that, and I'm giving myself another point.
I heard it very recently.
Because I told you.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was obviously a fantastic cast around them. Sam Neill, although he hasn't, you know, there's not a ton of stuff that he's well known for. It's pretty much this and
Merlin.
Event Horizon, I guess.
Did anybody else watch Merlin?
No, I didn't.
Has anyone seen Event Horizon?
Yeah.
No.
Isn't that just like really scary, that movie?
It's pretty messed up, yeah.
Yeah, like not yet, like messed up is better. I've heard some of the, I read the synopsis of that movie and I was like, stay away from that movie.
Yeah, it's gross. It's weird. I liked it though. Might watch it. Nah, probably not. But
I'm curious, but I know I might regret it after. Like I've heard it might be nightmare fuel.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty weird.
I normally despise child actors, but I don't think that I despise the child actors in this one.
I definitely didn't whenever I watched it at the time.
Well, as a kid, I was just like, oh,
he left us.
They're awesome.
He left us.
He left us. But like that's a good example, actually. That scene is believable,
yeah,
because she's
great.
In shock. And I think that she and the actor who plays Tim, the child actor who played Tim, I thought they both did a great job.
Joseph Mazzello.
I kind of hate...
Steven, 3 points.
For having IMDb open.
On two things.
I do like Tim. I kind of, you know, every now and then I'll hate Lex just because she does dumb stuff and gets them in trouble.
But that's the writing.
But
that's
yeah.
not
like, you got to keep a steady hand while you're eating Jell-O.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say we should do the Jell-O scene.
Yeah, like the flashlight. It's like, what are you doing?
The flashlight
what are you gonna
is
do with the
most egregious example.
Oh, when she shines it right in the T-Rex's eyes.
I can't turn it off. Why'd you turn it
I
on?
Can't stop.
Why on God?
I can't
God's
stop
name,
pointing
it,
it directly at.
The what does the what is a Dr. Grant? Is it Dr. Grant who takes the flare and distracts the T-Rex? What,
yeah,
is, the, what is he
but
saying?
Then Jeff
he's
Goldblum
just like,
no, that was Jeff
out,
Goldblum.
Yeah.
And he's like,
oh. They both do it.
Yeah, they both do it. And then Jeff Goldblum ends up like surviving a freaking T-Rex attack.
Yeah.
While the lawyer gets eaten.
Eaten
on
sometimes
the job.
Sometimes you gotta go.
Sometimes you gotta go. Or no, you gotta go when you gotta go.
To quote Weird Al, a huge Tyrannosaurus ate our lawyer. Well, I suppose that proves they're really not all bad. I'm sorry.
No.
It was just, you know, words of
wisdom. I don't believe this. You're all meant to come down here and defend me against these characters, and the only one I've got on my side is a blood-sucking lawyer.
Now,
thank you, John.
It's a very quotable movie, and
yeah.
Apart from, you know, shining a flashlight in the T-Rex's eyes, it's extremely well-crafted and amazingly written.
It's very quotable, especially
yeah,
that quote, cool. That last quote that I did, and
yeah, that's a good one.
It's like
one of my favorite lines. And it comes up a lot.
What's the Pirates
of the
Caribbean
the running theme.
One?
It's the running theme of the movie.
What?
What's the Pirates of the Caribbean line? It's like,
give what you can.
It's like going on Pirates of the Caribbean, but then the pirates eat the tourists.
It's like, John. But when the Pirates of the Caribbean ride breaks down, the pirates don't eat the people.
Oh yeah.
I want to go back to what Steven was saying. Yeah, Steuben. Sorry, about the theme of the movie. John Williams.
Musical theme.
Here,
Juan will.
Let me just play this for you.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Instantly provoking images.
Oh, listen to that. Beautiful. Yeah.
John Williams.
I knew it.
This is the part.
I knew
this
it
the part
before
right.
it even started.
Yes, right there. That's the.
I love it when it's really going to crescendo.
It's really going to come to a head here.
Oh, beautiful.
They do move in herds.
They do move in herds.
Oh, God. I knew it before you did it. Michael, you.
How did you do
you
this?
You disappoint me.
I'll show you.
Really?
No, Michael, I would have given you like 10 points.
I'll give you 2 points for that one. So Steven and Michael are tied.
The same amount of points that I've gotten for every segue I've ever done on this show. Gotta be kidding me.
Ryan, you better watch your tone. The music, though, is fantastic.
It is.
It's one of the most iconic... pretty much everything that Williams touches.
For a man that has made so many iconic movie soundtracks, this is up there. This and Star Wars, I would think, are kind of the top two.
Really?
Well, the Jaws theme is probably one of the most recognizable.
That's not a listenable soundtrack, though.
It's iconic, but you don't go, I'm going to listen to the Jaws soundtrack today.
E.T. Yeah.
E.T. I can E.T. listen
to the entire Harry last Potter. 15 minutes of E.T.
Harry Potter, I don't...
No.
I like the
I don't
the
love Harry
lady.
Potter so much.
I like the theme.
I think it's well done, but it's not my favorite soundtrack.
I've been listening to the Hook theme a lot lately.
Like, that's a good one, but the movie...
I love Hook.
Dude,
I am about to rewatch it.
Both of you guys don't diss on Hook. I freaking love Hook. Steven, you get another point.
One of my favorites to watch as a kid. Haven't seen it as an adult, but I've heard nothing but bad things about people who have rewatched it as an adult.
I rewatched it a couple years ago. I'm going to rewatch it this weekend. James, you want to watch rewatch
Hook? Let's do it this weekend.
We're going to do that this weekend. It's going to be great. High five.
Bangarang!
I'll do it. I want to see it again. I haven't seen it as an adult, so I don't know.
I think it'd be a good study.
It would.
We really do have to wrap it up here and do ratings. Are there any final thoughts we can squeeze in real
there's
quick?
There's just so much to talk about with this movie.
That's kind of the problem.
Yeah.
There are some inconsistencies in terms of Dino DNA being a feasible way to bring dinosaurs back from the dead. But that's just the concept. You know, it's sci-fi.
It's kind of, you know, using the cartoon of Mr. DNA is, you know, I think it's a pretty effective way of conveying.
I totally buy into it.
It's a great way to.
But you know, if James and I have read the book, the entire first half of that book is pure explanation of the science behind it.
It's less. Well, I mean, with a movie, you gotta.
That's the thing. That's why it's Mr. DNA. Kind of a genius.
It was a great way to put the mechanism. Point across without like. Losing a ton of time.
I want to bring up one more character's performance, that of the actor Wayne Knight.
Dennis Nedry. Yes.
That's it. Yeah.
Wow. Good memory.
Newman from Seinfeld.
We just watched.
Yeah.
Hello, Nedry.
I've never remembered his last name while watching the movie.
I think he was a great antagonist for the first, you know, two thirds of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Who's the guy? He
well,
meets?
Although, like, it's really not him who's the antagonist. It's the
word.
Rival company. But like, it's for the purposes of the movie. Though,
right. I think he's kind of the physical.
Oh yeah, he's
the one we see.
The hand,
and then when he's gone, the raptors become the bad guys, and the hero, and the T-Rex becomes the hero.
Yeah, which I loved as a kid.
Yeah.
What was the... He meets someone at a restaurant in Mexico and gets the shaving cream.
Dotson.
Dotson. We got
Dotson.
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 We got
Dotson. He's the main. Nobody cares. He's the main bad guy in. Yeah. One and two, the book.
He
books.
Was in two?
I'm pretty sure he's in two. I didn't read
the second book.
Yeah. He's a pretty big bad guy.
And I would like to say the most, like, just popcorn chomping moment of the movie at the end when the T-Rex finishes fights off the raptors. Oh. And then roars and the Welcome to Jurassic Park banner falls down. I was love like, it.
When dinosaurs roam the earth.
That's what it is. Yeah, yeah.
Also, I think that this movie pulls off suspense so well. Like in the kitchen scene, like, I remember as a kid, that was probably the first time I felt suspense from watching a movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, even now I'll watch it and I'm still just like, are they going to make it? You know, yeah. Even though I'm very aware that they are. I know who dies in this movie. And unfortunately, Samuel Jackson, who also pulled off a great performance, doesn't.
You know, excellent acting and characters and story beats and writing and action score. And plotting and score.
It's just a beautiful movie.
Let's rate it.
I will start because I chose it. Again, one of my favorite movies of all time, if not my favorite. Dinosaurs eating people, great themes. What else do you want? I'm going to go ahead and give it an A+.
You guys know that I hate giving A+ ratings. It's kind of a curse that I am always looking for faults in films, but I really don't think I could live with myself if I gave it anything less than an A+. So
it's not much else to say. This is the theme of this movie is powerful. It's what happens when you don't have a good IT department. A+.
Got to pay those programmers, man.
You guys aren't gonna like me. Psych.
C-. Okay.
And we actually did get a tiny bit of mail on this one.
Okay. Mail time. Like, gotta open up that mail time.
On from the mail didn't all.
Conversation with my good friend Gabe Alvarez. It's not really mail so much as just a Facebook back and forth.
From under a rock, yeah.
I just said, we're watching Jurassic Park. And he's like, what idiot hasn't seen Jurassic Park? And I'm like, none. It's a special edition. He's like, I don't have anything to say about Jurassic Park. It's just a good movie. Thanks for writing in,
thanks,
Gabe.
Gabe.
Thank you, Gabe. FUARock@gmail.com or Michael's Facebook. Or tweet us at FUARockPodcast on Twitter.
Alrighty. Well, I think, I'm not sure if this is a special episode, you know how it is. But I think we should still have a challenge.
Let's do a challenge.
Okay, let's do a challenge.
Alrighty. Well, Michael, I was going to go with your suggestion, but I think I'm going to go with my own suggestion, so you can keep it.
I will tell you what suggestion to yourself.
I thought you were going
to
say, so you can kiss my ass.
You can kiss my ass. I will tell you the scores. Steven has 5 points. Ryan has 3 points. Michael has, or missile has 4 points.
I'm a missile.
And I have 6 points. Ha! So I'm winning.
You stooge.
But ultimately, it doesn't really matter because you guys are the ones who are taking the challenge.
Are we even going to pick anything if we win?
I'll give you.
The winner gets two, I guess.
That's another quote from the movie. What do you give me? Respect. Okay, so I am going to tell. I'm going to test your dino knowledge, comrades. So the way this is going to, because I noticed that you guys didn't know all that much about some dinosaurs. So I'm going to go one at a time.
Tyrannosaurus.
I'm going to tell you a dinosaur.
Tyrannosaurus.
I'm going to tell you a dinosaur, and you're supposed to tell me as much as you know in 30 seconds about that dinosaur. Got it?
Tyrannosaurus.
Okay. Give me 1 second. Talk amongst yourselves.
Don't bring up Power Rangers.
Tyrannosaurus!
You'd better not give it Steven Tyrannosaurus.
Or Mastodon.
Or Pterodactyl.
Mastodon's not a dinosaur. Saber-tooth tiger is not a dinosaur.
Dragonzord!
Yeah, give him Dragon.
Give him Dragonzord.
Oh, I could talk a long time about Dragonzord.
No, just dragons.
Steven, since you are so keen to start, Parasaurolophus.
What? Well, the Parasaurolophus lived over 65 million years ago and is now extinct because of a giant meteor impacting the Earth and causing a winter because the meteor just hit a bunch of ash into the air and blocked out the sun, and there was no food for the paracephalus.
Paracephalus?
Yes.
Is that some weird strain?
The scourge of the dinosaur world.
I hope not, because that sounds terrifying.
Guys, I got paracephalus.
Like, oh, man, that's like five times worse than regular syphilis.
I need parapenicillin.
The dinosaur you told me, as a result, is now currently extinct, but you can find out a lot of it from the fossils. Because the bones.
And time. That was the vaguest thing I've ever
heard
in my life.
I'm going to give you 3 points for managing to not say anything about the dinosaur.
Let me ask, is that the
what
one that...
About? You know what? You were only off by 10 million years, though, so hey. I'm gonna give you those 3 points.
Is that the one that was, like, running and then it changed its direction because the T-Rex was coming?
No.
No?
No.
That's okay. Gallimimus.
Gallimimus. Hey, good one. Good nice. One. Ryan, you know what? You get a special 1-pointer.
Yes.
It's
like a free throw.
Gallimimus.
Gallimimus. Okay. How many did I say I'd give you?
Three.
Okay. That bumps you up to
or
seven. Paraceropolis. I'm not doing a good job of keeping track.
Paraceropolis, the one with like the...
It's the crested one.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a
hadrosaurid. For you listeners, I mimed it correctly. So
it is also an ancient reptile.
And it's entire... tube shaped thing.
It's
it is like over 10 feet and makes a super low sound because
it's
of how
not
long
10
it was.
Feet, but it's used for mating calls, and just calls in general.
Will you accept the charges?
Okay, Michael. Since you seem to have a good understanding here, Pachycephalosaurus. Ooh, I got
it. So Pachycephalosaurus was a it was it had a shell on it. It was a pachyderm. I'm guessing. I mean, I know. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Continue.
I believe it had a, like, I don't even know what the term is, and it has nothing to do with dinosaurs, but, think like a mace on its tail, almost. It was very hard shelled. It was kind of, reminiscent of like an altered Stegosaurus, I believe.
And that's time.
I don't think that's correct at all.
I'm only going to give you 1 point because the one you were thinking of was actually an ankylosaurus.
That's right.
Okay, it's all up to you, Ryan. Okay.
What was this one called? So I can look it up.
Pachycephalosaurus.
Is that extinct?
It's the one that butts heads.
Exactly.
Right?
Ryan, you've got this, man.
You didn't say if it was extinct or not. I think you missed a crucial fact.
Yeah, actually, they're still running around, so be careful on your daily commute. Okay, so...
Its head turns down, then
the
spinal
column
locks
is
in place.
Bam! Dude, Ryan, you got this. Okay. So, your dinosaur of the evening is... Deinonychus.
Well, you see, Deinonychus was a herbivore, known for that because it ate plants, and it wasn't very tall, so it mostly shrubbery, low
Look
to
at
the
you
ground.
Gold blooming your way through this.
It was known as the lifeguard of the dinosaur community for its avid swimming ability. In fact, it was born in the water and spent most of its early childhood in the water. It wasn't very popular at parties.
That's time.
Okay. Is it extinct?
You were thinking of a hadrosaur. Deinonychus is actually a carnivore. It is very similar to a raptor. Okay. So, but you did get the part where it was not very tall, so I'll give you 2 points. Okay. Well, you have all proven yourselves as avid.
James, tell me about the Tyrannosaurus.
About the what?
Well.
30 seconds, go.
All right.
He'll never get this one, guys.
I actually used to do. I volunteered at the Houston Museum of Natural Science as a kid,
nice.
And I got to present. There were these things called touch carts where you could like present stuff to like kids and let them like touch some of the exhibits and stuff. So I learned even more about dinosaurs like through that. Like for instance, did you know that that a T-Rex's teeth were serrated? So that they keep bacteria in them. So if you suffered a bite, you're probably going to die from bacteria.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
I thought that would be like a grinding bite.
Also, they came down with the force of like a jet plane. Yeah, yeah. So you'd
probably just die from that.
You would probably just die, but if on some freak occurrence that you survived, you're still going
to
die.
Does this look infected to you?
The brontosaurus
my
is also...
My bottom half of my body.
The sauropod's like, yeah, actually, you look like you're dying like,
you
right
look
now.
Like real bad.
Okay. So, I bet you guys are all sorts of excited for what the thing you hear is.
Guys, I think I won. I think I got it.
Tyrannosaurus.
In last place, Michael.
For the first or second time ever.
Yeah. Usually you win.
Because I'm a winner.
Usually you win on mine.
I'm a winner.
Tied for second place, James and Ryan.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Silver's
good. And psych first place is actually Michael.
Third's the worst. I said third's the burst. Second is the best.
Well, but I think
I feel like
third's the bratwurst. Second's the
turd. I feel
best.
A little gypped because I knew all about their dinosaurs and not much about my own.
No,
so I feel like I could
have. He should have jumped the gun. He was a Tyrannosaur, and then he was like, "Oh, that's the one with the." And then it came around to you. So,
all right. It's worth noting, we were actually doing golf rules today, so the lowest score...
Oh, right, of course. Michael, you win.
of course. The third place.
The, but the actual winner.
The mantra of losers everywhere. We're
the,
doing golf scores
rules
today.
Are we doing golf rules? But the winner is none other than our own stupid Suburban.
Tyrannosaurus golf dinosaur
clap.
Power!
Because we're playing golf rules, we'll golf clap.
Big ol' clap. No, not golf rules.
Shut
big
up!
Rules.
Shut up! Don't
Rock
take this
show
me.
Clap.
Shh.
All right, so Steven, what's off. Not your pick?
You know what? I think next week I'm going to pick for us to watch a movie.
Oh, that's a great pick.
That sounds great.
I haven't seen that one.
We should talk about it after.
I like movies, though.
Great
I know
pick,
that.
Great
I know
pick,
that.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
pick.
I don't know if y'all have ever done that
show
before.
Me watch a movie. Ding, ding. What?
Sorry.
Show
it was supposed
salad.
To be watch a film. Film was the.
They didn't accept
the
that one.
No.
It's a ripoff.
Show me moving pictures. Alrighty, well, that was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as we enjoyed. Stop,
Michael
come
back.
Back.
We're no.
Actually, you know what? He can stay.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done here.
Wait, guys, no, I'm back.
I think
no,
we can.
No,
am
idea.
I welcome?
Bye.
Am I welcome back?
I think we can just go around the table for one last roll call.
I'm James McDoodles.
I'm Mikhail Mouse.
I'm Steven Zarita.
No, you're not.
Steven Suburban. Steven Suburban.
Who are you?
Tyrannosaurus.
Who are you?
Steven Tyrannosaurus.
I'll take that, actually.
And I'm Ryan Evans, the still nicknameless Ryan Evans.
I'm glad I finally joined the ranks of nicknames.
Thank you for once again joining us for another episode of
From Under a Rock.